Thank you, Diane, for the children's story. And again, looking forward to a wonderful Lord's Day as we celebrate believers' baptism. Today, we're beginning a preaching series entitled Celebrating Our Brethren Values. And over the next 2 months, we're going to be talking about some key distinctives or key values that the Church of the Brethren holds. And believers' baptism is the one we're starting with, and that certainly is important to who we are as brethren. The Church of the Brethren was founded in 1708 in Schwarzenau, Germany, by Alexander Mack and others, who were convinced that the way the church was baptizing was wrong. It's interesting that we're kicking off this series talking about believers' baptism, and the Church of the Brethren was basically started because of how baptism was being done. Alexander Mack was convinced that the church was doing this wrong by baptizing infants. That was not the biblical way to do it. And Alexander Mack, the founder of the Church of the Brethren, was convinced that baptism was to be for believers, those who can confess and profess a faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And so Mack began to refuse to baptize children and only would baptize adult believers who could confess a belief in Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now, the interesting thing that's happening in 1708 in Germany is that the church was very much institutionalized. It was nationalized. It was run by the government. So basically, the government was in charge of the church, and the government says, oh no, we baptize all people, and we start with infants. And so infants and children were being baptized because the government running the church said that was the way we're going to do it. And they made it a criminal violation if you didn't abide by that. Well, Alexander Mack and his followers believed that they were being true to the Word of God. And as a result of disobeying the government, their lives were in jeopardy. The brethren believed that baptism marks a deliberate, thoughtful commitment to Jesus Christ. And in 1708, in the Eder River in Germany, the Church of the Brethren was born when Alexander Mack and seven others were baptized. They drew by lots the name of one person who baptized Alexander Mack, and then he baptized the remaining seven. And that's how the Church of the Brethren started, over 300 years ago, in Schwarzenau, Germany. It's because of Alexander Mack and his commitment to believers' baptism that the Church of the Brethren was born. Well, this morning, we're going to consider this value, this distinctive of who we are. And we're going to begin with, or try and answer some questions. What does baptism mean? Why must we be baptized? And of course, we're going to follow up the service today with baptism service at the Kreider Pond. So for our text this morning, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 3, just a few verses, chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. This is the baptism of Jesus, which we will use as sort of foundational understanding for why we have baptism and how we do baptism. Matthew chapter 3, 13 to 17, for a message entitled Believer's Baptism. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you that Jesus set the example for us in baptism. And then he commanded us to make disciples of all nations and baptize them. So where we pray today as we look at believers' baptism and how foundational it is to who we are as the Church of the Brethren, that we would have better understanding, better appreciation for this value. and that we would be excited and be able to rejoice with those who are being baptized today. So, Lord, anoint the words of your servant today as he speaks, Lord, in the hearing and understanding of all who hear, such that you and you alone would be glorified through this act of preaching. In Jesus' name, amen. From the beginning, the Church of the brethren have looked to the example of Jesus as the model for what baptism should be. And we see that clearly here in Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. The early brethren read the words of Jesus in Mark chapter 16:16, where he said, "Believe and be baptized. Believe and be baptized." So why was Alexander Mack not wanting to baptize infants? Because there's no way for them to believe in order to be baptized. The first point we want to make this morning is simply this. Baptism is grounded in belief in Jesus Christ. Baptism is grounded in belief in Jesus Christ. The early brethren revolted against the state that required them to baptize infants. And they asked, how can a little baby believe? They saw the act of Christian baptism as something that someone chooses because they believe, not something that is done for someone just because there is a law or a command from an authority. In our new members class here last month, we talked about the history of the brethren and how they were influenced by two groups, and one of those was the Pietists. The Pietists were trying to reform the existing church from within. They were devoted to prayer and to Bible study and greater lay participation and focusing the church's message on the spiritual and day-to-day needs of people. But there's a second influence that was probably equal or even greater that began in the 1600s, and that is the Anabaptists. Anabaptist means rebaptizer. These were people who had all been baptized as babies, but now believed they needed to be baptized as believers, primarily adults. And so they were called Anabaptists because they were being rebaptized. And in the early 1700s in Germany, to be baptized a second time was punishable by death. So these Anabaptists who were making this statement that we wanted to be rebaptized because I was baptized as an infant and I didn't choose to be baptized then, but I'm choosing to be baptized now, they were making a statement that this is so important to us that we're willing to put our life on the line because it was punishable by death. The early brethren refused to give in and remained committed to believers' baptism. And one of the reasons they were so committed to believers' baptism was the example of Jesus. It was the example of their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus chose to be baptized, and he was baptized by immersion. The early brethren, as they studied the Scriptures, discovered the word for baptism in the Greek meant to be immersed. Baptized means to be immersed. Matthew 3:13 tells us that Jesus went down into the Jordan River when he was baptized. And verse 16 says, as soon as he was baptized, he went up out of the water. There was no sprinkling on the head for Jesus, no pouring water over his head. He was down in the Jordan River, and he was fully immersed in his baptism. And brethren are committed to following the example of Jesus. Now we have to ask, why was Jesus being baptized? I mean, he was the perfect Son of God. There were no sins in his life to confess, no cleansing that was needed. Why then was Jesus baptized? And the simple answer is he was baptized to identify with you and with me, the ones that he loved. I think Jesus' baptism shows his confidence in the will of the Father, that he is trusting the will of the Father. So important was Jesus' baptism that when he came out of the water, what happened? The Spirit of God descended like a dove upon him, and the voice of the Father could be heard. This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. So the brethren believe in believers' baptism as grounded in faith in Jesus Christ. But there's a second point we need to make about this distinctive, this value. And that is, the brethren believe that believer's baptism is our complete surrender to the will and purpose of God. It is our complete surrender to the will and the purpose of God. Alexander Mack knew that when he was baptized in the seven, with, he knew that when he was baptized with the seven in 1708, they were risking their lives. They were, they could be put to death because of their actions. That didn't matter, because they believed that this act of baptism as a believer by immersion was their declaration that they are fully trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. They are surrendered to God's will and God's purpose. And we get a sense of that as well in Jesus' baptism, as he is symbolically baptized to show his surrender to the will and purpose of the Father. Baptism represents commitment. It represents our willingness to give over our life to God through Jesus Christ. It symbolizes our cleansing from sin and our surrender to Jesus Christ. Baptism represents our willingness to count the cost. That phrase, count the cost, is very a significant part of the early brethren. In Luke chapter 14, verse 28, Jesus tells the story of someone who wants to build a tower. And Jesus says, will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? And Jesus was sharing this story as he's talking about the cost of discipleship, of following him. And the brethren have always been very intentional about counting the cost. Are you willing to count the cost? Are you willing to make the sacrifice, the commitment to follow Jesus? This is not simply a ritual we do. Believer's baptism is complete surrender to Jesus Christ, and it requires that we count the cost. It is grounded in faith in Jesus Christ, and it is our complete surrender to the will and the purpose of God. When St. Patrick was evangelizing the British Isles, a story is told of his baptizing an old Celtic chieftain. They had gone down into a rapidly flowing stream. And to keep his balance, according to the story, St. Patrick noticed a red stain in the water around the staff that he used to steady himself. And to his dismay, he realized that he had driven his staff through the leg of the old chief. St. Patrick began to apologize. The chief replies, "Oh, I just thought it was all part of the ceremony." You know, Jesus never promised that following him would be easy. Never promised that at all. And baptism represents our willingness to count the cost. And it says, you know, I'm going to go where Jesus leads. And it may not be easy. His path for my life may not be easy, but I am committed. I'm going to go where he leads me. Baptism represents that newness of life. You know, as I was preparing this sermon, it was about a month ago now, and I couldn't help but remember my baptism. It happened about 1 week before my 9th birthday, and it was right after Christmas in 1975. And earlier that year, I'd given my life to Jesus Christ. I was in a new believers class, and the time came to me to be baptized. The New Providence Church of God was my home church. And again, I was baptized just a few days after Christmas, sort of a strange time to be baptized, but that's when it was. And it was in the baptistry, which was in the basement of the church. And I still remember it very well. It was by immersion as well, but the Church of God, they do it backwards rather than forwards. But what I remember most about that baptism service nearly a half century ago was how it spurred me on to greater discipleship, to greater devotion to the church and to the Lord Jesus Christ. I grew immensely, immensely in my faith in the years to come. Recently, while going through stuff and getting our house ready for sale, I found this old order of worship. You probably can't see it too well, but it was from New Providence Church of God, and it's dated April 6th, 1980. My Sunday school class at that time, I would have been about 13 years old, decided on Easter Sunday during Sunday school they were going to have their own worship service. And members of that class took roles, including ushers and soloists and people for prayer, and of course, the sermon. Guess who was the preacher that Sunday? None other than, and it says on there, Rev Kevin Richardson. 5 years after I was baptized. 5 years after I was baptized, I am preaching Easter Sunday for my Sunday school class. Friends, I was all in. I was all in. My baptism sowed me into the life of the church, helped me to grow tremendously in my faith, to the point that I'm preaching my first sermon on Easter Sunday, 1980. And that leads to our next point today. Baptism is important because it's our public declaration of our faith in Jesus Christ. That's why baptism is so important. It is our public declaration of our faith in Jesus Christ. Baptism are public events. We're going to be out so anybody can see, anyone can witness. And we baptize so that we will know that this person is declaring their faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus' baptism was public. It was in the Jordan River. Anybody could observe it. And it was his way of declaring of his affiliation, his commitment to God's purpose and his understanding of the sinfulness of humanity. When we had a baptism class with those who are being baptized, we talked about how important it was that this is a public announcement or pronouncement of our faith. And I told them it's like putting up a billboard with your picture on it saying, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Because that's what baptism is all about. It's publicly declaring that I'm a follower, a believer of Jesus Christ. And remember, for Alexander Mack, baptizing believers could have resulted in imprisonment or death. That's how committed he was to believers' baptism. The public declaration of faith in Jesus Christ was far more important. There's a passage in Scripture that speaks to this idea of publicly confessing Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. It's found in Matthew 10, 32 to 33, where Jesus says, "Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown before my Father in heaven." So someone can confess Jesus Christ in the quiet of their room, but they haven't confessed him before men. And baptism allows us to make known to all our decision to follow Jesus. I remember well, as I mentioned, my baptism from nearly 50 years ago. But you know what I also remember? I also remember the joy of baptizing so many others in 27 years of ministry. I remember the joy of baptizing my sister. When we were out at the Creation Festival, and I had opportunity to baptize her in the pond out there at the Creation Festival. Of baptizing my daughters and my wife. All baptized as believers, publicly declaring their faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Alexander Mack, along with seven others, were baptized in the Eder River in 1708, and the Church of the Brethren was born. And since then, the Brethren have understood that baptism means that we no longer have to meet life alone, that we have a church family that's coming around us to support us and to encourage us to grow. And that's our final point today, is that baptism marks our entry as members of our church. Baptism marks our entry as members of the church. Baptism represents acceptance into a new family as full sons and daughters. We are no longer alone in any sense. In fact, we are family now. And friends, let me suggest that this is an aspect of the Brethren that I have come to appreciate, because I'm not familiar with that. That's not the way it functions in the Church of God, where I knew for 50 years. But I appreciate so much that those who are baptized are immediately members of the church. Adoption into the family of God. And I further believe or further love that the Brethren baptized by triune immersion. That is, we baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three times forward. And I believe that is very, very foundational to the truth of Scripture. Three times forward in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, I suspect that Jesus at his baptism was probably not baptized that way. You know, I can't picture John the Baptist saying, "I baptize you in the name of your daddy, you, and your best friend." I don't think that happened, okay? But the triune baptism so powerfully shows our adoption into the family of God. Upon baptism, we become a joint heir with Jesus. We become brothers and sisters in Christ. We become embraced by this wonderful family of believers. We become a member of the Church of the Brethren. Don't miss the significance of that. In my office, there is a picture that I have come to appreciate. It's from August 10th, 1946. On the back, it says, "Baptism of Anita Fry by Lester Schreiber and Rufus Booker in William Booker's Meadow." It's a great picture. Love this picture. Standing along the shore is the church there, as believers are baptized and become members of the church. People of all ages are there in celebration of another follower of Jesus declaring their faith, being baptized and received into membership in the church. And I love how Rufus and Lester are wearing the hip waders in there. Don't look for any hip waders on me today, okay? It ain't gonna happen. Over 300 years ago, the first brethren chose adult baptism as their ceremonial response to God's saving act. Today, in the presence of the congregation, a newly committed person kneels in the waters of baptism and publicly acknowledges his or her decision and is immersed three times forward in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Through the symbolic cleansing and rebirth, the person becomes a full member of the Mechanic Grove Church of the Brethren and of the larger body of Christ. Following the example of Jesus and the command to baptize believers, we celebrate this brethren distinctive today. Again, this distinctive is so foundational to the starting of the Church of the Brethren over 300 years ago. So let me give you three takeaways from the message today. First of all, remember your baptism. Remember your baptism. For some of you, that was many years ago. But remember your baptism. I talked about mine right after Christmas 1975. And I remember Pastor Ron Endress, who baptized me, and how important it was for my family and my church family to know that I have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. So as we are baptizing new believers today and their commitment to Christ, reflect back on your own baptism. Remember it. Remember it with great fondness and joy. Secondly, remember that baptism is an outward sign of an inward grace. It is symbolic of the saving work that Christ has already done in our life. No one of these four who are baptized today is any more saved after they are baptized than they were before. It is simply a reflection of what God has done in their life, what Christ has done in their life. It is an outward, visible expression of what Jesus has done for them. And lastly, remember what it means to be a baptized member of the church. You are a vital part of the church. And some of you have been members here at Mechanic Grove for 50, 60, maybe 70 years or longer. You are still an active, vital part of what God is doing here at Mechanic Grove. So praise God for that. Remember that you're a beloved part of God's family at Mechanic Grove. So friends, let me close with these words from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. It says, "There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." One Lord, one faith, one baptism. My prayer today is that we would remember our baptism as we would celebrate with these who are being baptized, and that we would continue to celebrate one Lord, one faith, one baptism. The baptism of believers of Jesus Christ. To the praise of His glory, amen, so be it, amen. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for this distinctive, this value of the Church of the Brethren, believers' baptism. And we recognize how instrumental, how foundational it was to the starting of the work of the Church of the Brethren over 300 years ago. And Lord, it still holds tremendous significance today. Father, as we rejoice and celebrate with these four who are being baptized this morning, Lord, that we would remember our baptism. Remember it with great joy and be reminded that we are all a part of the great family of God here at Mechanic Grove Church of the Brother. So, Father, thank you for your word to us today, the reminder of how significant, how important believers' baptism is. And we rejoice with those who are being baptized today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.